Right, so for this session, I was thinking to talk about one of Jesus' teachings and just to remind ourselves that Jesus is indeed, I think, and most of the critics and people that, you know, are with languages and literature, Jesus is the best storyteller of all times. So the way he came up and told us the truth, the way he spoke to people at that time, it's still so valid nowadays. If you look at any sort of books from those years, it's quite difficult to understand what some of those books are saying. But Jesus' teaching is so valid for us today. And the passage that I would like to read this morning is in John's chapter 15. And it's about the vine and the branches. Such a good teaching we'll see here in just a few verses, how much we can grasp, how much we can understand about God, about the truth of Christian faith, and about Jesus, and about our lives. So let's read John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. And I would like to pause a bit after each verse or halfway through a verse, because sometimes we're rushing through the scripture and we may not get the essence of what it says. So I'll try to read a bit differently today, if that's okay. So I will pause and breathe a bit after each part of the verse. So let's try this together. So John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. So let's breathe and let that sink a bit. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Again, let's breathe a bit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers, dries. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Amen. Such powerful words, aren't they? It's amazing how in such a short passage, Jesus managed to send out a great message. Because here, someone said, it's like we are looking through a keyhole to the entire universe. In these 11 verses, it's like we're looking through a keyhole to an entire universe. Because here, God is presented as the gardener, the one who invented, who created everything. And Jesus is presented as the vine, as the one through whom and for whom are all things, seen and unseen. Isn't that amazing? In such a small comparison, Jesus has managed to capture the truth. And this is a struggle for us today, even in our workplaces, where sometimes you're asked to do a synthesis of 10 reports of what happened last year. And Jesus actually is very good at that. So he captures in a nutshell, so many truths here. Just as an introduction, so to understand a bit that people at that time, when they listened to this story about the vine and branches, they actually understood, I think, a bit more than us. Because in the Old Testament, God said about his people, about Israel, that they are his vineyard. That Israel, they were chosen to shine upon the world so that God could work through them. So if we read, for instance, Psalm 80, verses 8 to 11, it says here, "You transplanted a vine from Egypt." Familiar, right? So he took the people from Egypt. "You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. Its branches reached as far as the sea." And then again, in Isaiah chapter 5 and 7, it says, "The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel," and carries on and talks about that. So here, Jesus comes at his time and says, "Do you know what? There was a vineyard. Now I am the true vine." You see, I think the impact that his words had among his disciples and among people at that time, they were so powerful. So he's replacing the old with the new. Because Israel, like us, yeah, people, they failed so many times. And God, as the gardener, picked them up so many times and then cleaned them again and, you know, tried to put them on the right path. And Jesus now came on this earth and says, "Do you know what? I tried with people, but I'm going to be the true wine, the true vine for you." So it's an amazing parallel, an amazing comparison. So let's do a short exercise now, just to try and be a bit more interactive. So at the tables, I'm going to provide two sheets of paper, and you can show your drawing skills now. So on one paper, if you can draw a vine full of grapes and fruits, and actually instead of grapes, you could put words about the fruits, yeah? What you may think that a vine with fruits may bear, yeah? So I can give you a clue. Galatians chapter 5. Well, we're going to talk about that later. I wouldn't be too bad on this weather, actually. Galatians 5, that's just a clue. But you can use your imagination and think of what sort of fruits God will be pleased to find in his vineyard. Just about 5 minutes. And if you could draw, so instead of grapes, you could put words in the vine that bears fruits. And on the second page, if you can draw a dried vine, how would you imagine a dried vine? No fruits, no leaves, no nothing. And then let's talk about your feelings when you look at the two pictures. Yeah, at each table, we're going to have a microphone. And just tell us what you feel when you see a vine full of fruits with words. Like, I can give you a clue, like, you know, fruits like love, for instance. That's a great fruit to have. And what are the fruits you may think with God's Spirit we can have in our lives? So about 5 minutes. If you're ready, we can start. Who wants to go first? I'll come around your tables there. Right, thank you. Right.
Okay. What we've written down is faithfulness.
Closer to the mic.
We've got faithfulness, gentleness, joy, love, peace, kindness, patience.
You got them all.
Okay, I'll stop.
Thank you. And what about that one? Is that a dried one or?
It's the same. It's the same again.
It's the same again. Right.
I ran out of balance with that.
Excellent. So you don't have a dried one then? A stick? No. Right, okay. No.
Oh,
right, this one. Thank you. That was great. Here, are you ready here? Thank you.
We've got all the ones that they had, but we've also got self-control and roots.
Fantastic. So many things, right? Thank you. And what about the dry stick and no fruits and nothing?
Did you?
It's not. We don't. Right. Okay. Almost terrible.
Compassion
and care. Excellent. Thank you.
We interpreted that in stuff. We got that on the drive. We interpreted it.
All right. Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. I think that's good. So what's on the dry one then? The stick.
Unkindness, maliciousness, doubt, wickedness, hatred, conflict, dishonesty, torture, disgrace, greed, disbelief, cruelty, bitterness, and evil.
That's it, exactly.
And I got most of them from Solomon's Proverbs.
There you go, exactly. So that's the feeling, isn't it? It's that feeling of nothingness, really. Thank you. How about this table here? You worked very hard, I could see.
It took us all the time, actually, to do the
drive.
But it is very comfortable and shaded under our vine.
Excellent, right.
We have three chairs.
I can see.
We agree with everything that has been said thus far.
It's a very nice drawing, actually.
But I have some.
So you can rest now under the shade. Good. Thank you. How about this table here?
Yes, I think we've said this all before. Love, joy, faithfulness, patience, goodness, peace, hope, self-control under the flowery one. But the dried up one, we've got nothingness, emptiness, anger, dryness, disappointment, failure, shadeless.
Mm. Do you see the feelings? It's such a contrast, isn't it? The joy and the happiness and the love, and then the other side is like, I don't want to go there, isn't it? Thank you. About this table here?
So
lovely drawings, by the way.
We've captured much of the same for the good tree, the good vine. And then for the withered vine, we've got sadness, fear, being afraid, exposed, vulnerability.
Mm, thank you. Exactly. So that's the contrast I think the verses are capturing. About here?
Oh.
There you go. You're the speaker. There you go. Thank you.
Yeah, it's all the same.
Looks nice anyway.
It does.
Yeah. So you can
rest
here.
Have you seen your son's one? He's Google.
Is it a Marvel one or a DC one? Right.
We've got all the same.
Excellent. Right.
For the bad one, anxiety, insecurity, jealousy, depression, anger.
Mm. Thank you. Thank you very much. So it was a good exercise. So that's what the text is telling us. So it's about a choice, isn't it? Right. Let's go now back to those verses and see how many truths we can extract from there. Of course, the time will not permit, but it's a lot of good stuff going on in here. So now the first thing I would like to point out, the first truth is that Jesus, it says in here, he is the true vine. He is the true vine, which means that out there may be, false vines, isn't it? So that's the first truth of this chapter. He says, he doesn't say, well, I'm one of the vines, or even, I'm the vine. No, he says, I am the true vine, which is definite, which is secure, which for us is like, we know in the beginning, as John starts his gospel, he says, in the beginning, the Word was with God. And then the Word became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. So Jesus here comes again and says, I am. Yeah, remember from the Old Testament, I am who I am. And here Jesus comes and says, I am the true vine. I am the Son of God. I am God on earth. Because nowadays, there is such a diluted gospel in some places. And just an example, as you may remember, the prosperity gospel. So what those teachings are doing, they are picking up verses, they are picking up ideas from the truth, from the scripture, and they're coming up with all sorts of teachings. And I've seen actually, when I remember as a young teenager, I read quite a lot searching for the truth. And I read a couple of other books and religions. And it's interesting because, for instance, I read a book about reincarnation or incarnation, right? And they picked up verses from the Bible saying, well, actually, look, the Bibles may have an idea about reincarnation because, look, John the Baptist apparently could be Elijah. So, you know, it's amazing how people are picking up from the Word of God to sustain those ideas that are not truth. So that was just an example. So Jesus, to remember today, he is the true vine. He is the truth for our lives. And we see around us so many broken relationships. Broken relationships between nations, broken relationships between people, families, friends, and so on. Why? Because people have broken relationships with the gardener, with the vine. And that goes on in our lives as well. So let's remember today, he is the true vine. Now, the second comment for this morning is about verse number 2. It's a very difficult verse in a way, and as far as I studied, it's created quite a lot of controversy among Christians because the verse says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And some of the interpretations in the past were quite tough, saying that actually, you know, if Jesus finds no fruits within the community, he could cut those branches off, which actually this is, again, not the gospel, not the truth. Because no matter how people will try to do good deeds or, you know, have good fruits, that's not for their salvation. The fruits are showing that we are saved. The fruits are showing that we are in the vine. So this comment here needs to be understood in the context. As we remember, Jesus provided this story with his disciples, knowing what will happen the next day. So he was with his disciples whom he loved dearly. But he knew that one of them, as you remember, Judas, will sell him. And actually, in this text here, he has Judas in his mind because Judas chose to do his will, to take his life in his own hands. So we need to understand here, it's not about us doing something in order for God to accept us. That's not the gospel. And we have so many verses here. But it's about those perhaps who publicly deny Jesus, who willingly are renouncing their faith, or publicly, like Judas, so they go away and take their lives in their own hands, showing publicly that they give up on Jesus. So that's, in a way, what's all about here. Because, in a way, Jesus here is telling us the truth. You know, apart from me, we can do nothing. Apart from the vine, we can do nothing. And a true friend that loves you, he will tell you the truth. You know, we may have, for instance, after breakfast, some crumbs, some jam on a cheek, and people say, oh, yeah, you look amazing. But actually, a true friend will tell you, you know, can I tell you something? You have some jam on your cheek. You know, so that's what kind of Jesus is saying here. He is telling us the truth with love because he created this world with freedom, freedom of choice. There is no love with violence. There cannot be love with constraint, isn't it? No matter how much you love someone, you will never force that person to love you back. So that's what Jesus is telling here. You know, he created us free to choose either to stay in the vine, to choose God, or to go on our own way. He will never force us to choose him. He will never force us to obey him. It's a free choice because that's only in freedom you can have true love, isn't it? So that's why God, when created the world, we can say he took that risk of people going on their own ways. So that's what the text is about here. Another interpretation is that actually the word here, cuts off, means for Christians that God lifts them up. The word in Greek, apparently, some commentators are saying that for Christians that are down and they have no fruits, Jesus comes and picks them up and lift them up. Because if you have a branch on the ground, there's not going to be fruits there. So you have to lift the vine up in order to breathe and to create that fruit. So that's another interpretation. But the promise of Jesus for those who believed in him is very clear in the scripture. So we should not use this verse to scare people or scare Christians, because that's not the truth. The truth is this. He says in John chapter 10, I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Once a person believed in Jesus, no one will snatch them out of his hand. So that's God's promise. And he says also, all that the Father gives to me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. So that's the truth of the scripture. We are saved by grace. We are saved through the vine, through the work of Jesus. And our good deeds and our character shows actually that we are in the vine. So that was another one, a bit more difficult, but I think it's good for us to understand different interpretations and to see the truth. Now, the other point I wanted to make, number three, is that we can do nothing separated from God. I mean, I say nothing. We can do nothing good separated from God, so to put it more plainly, because we can do lots of bad stuff. Apart from God, we can do lots of bad stuff. And actually, if you look at our lives or around us, it's so easy to be bad. Yeah, it's so easy to be a bad person or to do bad things. Yeah, you don't have to force yourself. It's just what's within us. And this passage, we sometimes look at the negative. Oh, we said before, he cuts off people. We can see that in a negative sense. But actually, this passage here, it's a great story for us. It's a good news for us. Because the scripture says that within our nature, we could have never been saved. Yeah. So the Bible says that everyone is a sinner. So everyone will choose to do bad things because it's in our nature. So God knew that. So he came as the vine to bring us life, to bring us back into our relationship with God. So actually, this is a good news for us. Yeah. In our nature, we will all be separated anyway from God. So the fact that Jesus came, that's the salvation. The true vine who was planted, the true vine who died on the cross, the true vine who died for us, who took our sins so that we may grow again a new life in a new vine, who is Jesus. So that's the amazing truth here. So separated from God, we can do nothing. All we have to do is to stay connected. Stay connected. Sometimes we're struggling to do our bits and to do, you know, some things in our lives. And I remember so many times I said the words I shouldn't be said, and I did the work, the things that I shouldn't have done. And sometimes I think of myself in the past, I should have done nothing. I should have said nothing. And that's here. If we stay connected to Jesus, sometimes the fruits will come automatically. If you take a branch out of a tree or a vine, it will dry. But if you leave the branch there, the fruits will come automatically through the Holy Spirit. So today, for us, is just to stay connected. And perhaps it's no harm in thinking of our lives. What are the fruits, as we did earlier, that exercise? What are the fruits telling in my life? Am I connected to the true vine? You know, because those fruits will tell us who we are and where we are. And we made it clear earlier, so the fruits are not for our salvations. They are showing that we are saved. And sometimes it's so easy to look at other people's life and, you know, to point out the lack of fruits. And I remember as a youth leader, I had young people coming to me and they said, you know, with a list, oh, I would like my future husband or wife to have these qualities, you know, a degree there, a car, a nice job. Nice character. And then we could turn the list back towards ourselves and say, you know, I used to tell them, how many of those things actually you have in your life? You know, because we forget that, loving and offering is more blessing than receiving. And that's the true love. And that's the vine does. The life goes automatically through the vine. into the branches. So he, Lord Jesus, endured the shame for us, endured the cross, so that we may have this love, this peace. And also we can then think of other truths from this story. You know, the type of fruits that we have in our lives will tell what kind of persons we are. And also, by the fruits, says the Bible in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15, 20, it says here, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruits you will recognize them. Isn't that amazing? So within this story, we can see people that live, they live in truth or not. The other two things I think I would like to point out, and we can close with a prayer, is that very often, you know, we hear this question, what is God's will with my life? And in this passage that we just read, we found out what is God's will with our lives, is to stay in Him, is to stay connected, is to listen to His principles of life. And that's not just because, you know, He's like a master who wants us to obey. It's that because He knows that only in Him we're going to have fruits and true life. And I remember my grandma, she was a fantastic woman. From her, I learned a lot. And she's like those unsung heroes in my life. And she used to have a vineyard. She worked very hard. And I still remember as a child, I watched her. She was so good at it, although she had no studies. But she knew what she was doing in the vineyard. And I remember when it was the time to clean the vineyard, she took her tools around her, like scissors, sharpener scissors. She had a towel in her head for sun. There were no hats at that time. And she gets herself equipped to go in the vineyard and do the work that she knew she has to do. And I used to watch her. She had so much speed in her hands. I have no idea what she was doing. But she went there and she cut it and cleaning and cluttering. And she had like wire for the garden and she tidied them up. And as you looked behind her, everything was so clean. Everything was like, you know, from another world. And when you looked ahead of her, it was a mess, a wilderness. Everything was all over the place. But I had no idea what she was doing. Only at the harvest you would understand what happened and what she's done. Only at the harvest, sometimes in our lives, we will understand what's God been doing in our lives. At the moment, we may think, well, that doesn't make sense. As we heard this morning from Katrina, it depends on how we're looking at things that are happening. But we have to remember today from this story, there is a gardener. We are not by chance, we're not alone. There is a gardener who is working in his vineyard, who is working at his branches, and the branches is us. So we have to trust. We have to trust God that He is at work in our lives. And I don't know what we are, you know, going through at the moment, but God knows each and one of us. Maybe there are things that we're thinking, well, why this happened in my life? Why so much pain? Why so much struggle? And sometimes the things that are happening in our lives, you know, some people are looking at them as opportunities. And you hear stories like people that went through an accident, that they lost someone dearly, and they came out of that closer to God, came out of that as a testimony to the world. Like, for instance, not sure if you know Nick Vujic, yeah, born without limbs, no legs, no arms. And he is one of the most well-known Christian speakers, motivators around the world. How is that possible? Those people must have understood that in their lives, as a branch, God needs to do some work. He needs to prune us, as we read further down, and that would be my last point. Even we are Christians, even we are children of God, He wants us to bring those fruits. And why? Because He knows that that's for our joy, for our delight. And also in verse 8, it says, this is to my Father's glory, that you may bear much fruit. And it's so interesting how it starts here. He says, we have fruits. And then he says, to have more fruits. And then he says in verse 8, to have much fruit. So you see, God wants us to be closer and closer to Him. He knows that in that way, we will fulfill our destiny. We will fulfill our lives. And we will show to the world that it's for God's glory. So when things are happening in our lives, we need to trust in God that He is at work, even though they may not make sense, even though they may be painful. With God's help today, we should start thinking, actually, I'm going to take this as an opportunity. I'm going to look at this as an opportunity to bring about more fruit, to be more kind, to show my love to, you know, the people around me, my family, my friends, my neighbors, to show that God really is at work in our lives. And I pray today that all of us understand this truth, that we are the branches. Lord Jesus is the vine, and God is the gardener, and He's always working in our lives. And only at the harvest, when we'll meet Him, when we'll meet with Him, we will understand the whole point, the whole picture. At the moment, our lives may look a bit messy. Our lives, of things that are happening, they may not make much sense, as I told you about my grandma. And actually, the interesting thing about my grandma was that she knew each vine what type of grapes it would make. She used to walk around and she told me, look, this one is gonna be late. This one is not good for wine. It's just for eating. I'm going to show you. And this one here, this has an interesting color and the taste of this one. That means God knows us, everyone individually. He knows what type of fruits we could make. He knows that those fruits are for others' benefits. You know, our lives, our love, our forgiveness is first and foremost for others and then for God's glory. And God, help us all to understand and to stay and be patient in His vine, in Jesus. Amen. Amen. That was all. God bless you all. If you want to end with a prayer, Katrina, that would be great. Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we thank You so much for that word this morning. We thank You for the many truths that Florin has taught us. And we just ask that over the next hours and days that we would digest that and that it would take root within us and produce good fruit. We thank You that Your word is life-giving and we look forward to seeing what fruit it is going to grow in our lives this week. I just pray a blessing on us now, Lord God, that whatever our week holds, we will know that we can face it with You. And I pray Your blessing over us in Jesus' name. Amen.